This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.
Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got an email about the regular girls who keep coming to your party and a girl whose friend wants to hook up, wants to know what to do. Check it out. Share with friends. J-Train Podcast. This is J-Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side, State of New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. I say it again. Thank you for listening. I get your Snapchats every single minute of every single day. JTrain56 on Snapchat of you listening to the podcast and where you are and how you're doing it. I've been hearing from France and Italy and Denmark and Australia and all over the United States. It's really very cool to see that you guys are enjoying and passing it along to friends. That is another thing. It literally... The best thing I, you know what really feathers my nuts the most is when I see a listener in the car with like a group of like four people, they're friends. And they're, that's really the way to pass this along. Get them involved with your favorite episode. You'll show them, hey, I know this guy, Papa JT, who wants to sing Sweet Nothings into our ears for this road trip. Put it on.
He's got at least two main nicknames.
Two main nicknames. They'll go, Papa JT, who's that? J-Train, Jared Freed. He's got this podcast where he takes emails from dudes and chicks, and the emails are ridiculous, and sometimes he gives some advice that's good, and other times he's farting, you know?
More than sometimes you give good
advice. Yeah, I try my best. So it butters my popcorn every single time you guys are listening with a group of people and passing it along. So please, 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 I ask of you, the listener, this is a free podcast. Here's how you pay me. Here's how you pay Papa JT. Tell one friend, foe, mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, aunt, uncle, dog, cat, fish, Republican, Democrat, independent, black, white, Asian, Indian, Jew. Tell a few Jews about this podcast, J-Train Podcast. It's every Tuesday and Friday, and I do appreciate you guys listening and passing the word along. I'm very excited about today's guest. Just a guy, you know, super funny, and one of those guys I walk into the room to watch what he's saying on stage. So I'm excited to see it. Alingan Mitra, thank you for coming on.
Hello. It's an honor to be here with Papa JT.
It's so good to have you here. It took too long. I'm happy you're here.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here.
I love your stand-up. Your comedy is great, and you guys should all be on board with them. At Alingan, A-L-I-N-G-O-N, on Twitter. Go follow him, support him. His website is alinganmitra.com. You coming anywhere soon?
Yeah, I'm going to be Mohegan Sun Thanksgiving weekend.
There you go. Yeah. So Mohegan Sun, I'm there all the time. It's a great club, fun place. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
How you been?
I've been good. How about yourself?
We kind of rushed the beginning because I'm moving today.
Yeah.
And it's been just a nutty... We don't tape this late usually. So it's a little... I'm a little everywhere.
You're everywhere. Yeah. Moving into a black neighborhood.
I am moving into a black neighborhood, yes. Harlem. J-Train is coming to Harlem. I'm excited about it. I just told this before, but this is how white I am, is that the movers that I had didn't believe me that I was moving. I was like, the streets are, you know, I gave them the street number and they went and took the moving stuff to a number that would be more reflective of my skin color, which is like hilarious and insane at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'm suspicious that you're moving into
to Harlem.
Yeah, I'm wondering why. What happened?
There's a lot of people. They give me a look. What are you trying to get at?
Yeah, it feels like you're pulling something.
Well, I am pulling something. It's a nice neighborhood. There's nice people. There's good stuff going on there. It's cheaper.
Nah.
More space, bang for your buck.
No, I agree with all of that, but.
Something else.
Something else is going on.
This is, yeah. I actually timed it with the Trump win.
I was
like, we're all going to do this at once, you know? How do you feel about the election? I mean, we taped the Monday before the election with Soder and Mike Lemmy, and then they come out Tuesday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in Virginia Tech. I just want to say those Virginia Tech guys and girls, everyone there, what a fun fucking show. Thank you for having me. And then I was in Providence, and there were guys and girls that listen to the podcast in Providence, so I haven't really been home.
We're in Providence.
At the Comedy Connection.
Okay, yeah.
And that club is great.
Oh, yeah, those are great guys.
Oh, my God. If you guys are in Providence and you've never been to that club, go. That is like a rockin' good time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the crowd, you can feel it in the room. There's a buzz, and it's like a ballroom, and it's an old bank.
It's an old bank vault,
so, yeah. So it's very cool. You just feel like you're at something cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So I haven't really, you know, I wrote a column about the election. We'll get to it later in the podcast when Man Sam comes on, because that's kind of his specialty and his expertise. And but I wrote something, you know, it does feel, we were talking before, how do you feel?
I'm disappointed with the result, but I'm not, like, crying to the heavens that this is the end of the world the way I feel like a lot of people who I'm reading about on Facebook are.
Yeah, I mean, it's pushing me away from social media. I love social media, too. I love watching the fire burn, and I'm even at the point of, like, I gotta go to Instagram and just look at some boobies.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's constantly my state.
It
feels like both sides either, like, those countries very divided, and social media is not doing anything to help us with that. We just, like, block the people we disagree with, like the people we agree with, and that doesn't lead to any sort of consensus. It just wedges us further apart.
I would love to see some sort of Venn diagram of, like, things people like right on the right be like the Republicans, on the left the Democrats,
yeah,
what they like, and then in the middle where it gets in, where they cross, is probably all tasty videos. You know, like, I think that's the only thing we're agreeing on right now.
It just feels like we don't, like, I want to ask the people who are like, oh man, all Trump supporters are racist, like, how many Trump supporters do you know?
Yeah,
that's the thing. I feel like maybe they know one, and it's like their great grandfather, and they don't talk to him anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, if you don't speak you've invented somebody.
I mean, let me say something to the listeners right now. I've written on the internet for 6 years,
okay,
continuously.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be big. The internet.
Yeah, the internet. I think it's going to happen one day.
It'll hit.
So the interesting thing about what you're saying is the internet is full of straw men.
Mm-hmm.
I could tweet right now about something I know people will be on board with, and about a person that doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've done this. I'll say this. Listen, I've written columns for Total Frat Move and Bro Bible and a bunch of other websites, and Betches, and, you know, men, female. When I write the column first, and then I name it. I don't name it, then I write it. You know, like, I don't, and the name is all about tweets and getting retweets.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that as someone who writes for the internet. So everything on there that gets retweets has to be flammable. It can't be. There's nothing gets a retweet that's, today was an okay day.
Right.
That never gets a retweet. You know what gets a retweet? Today fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Or today was the best fucking day of my life. You see? Yeah. And so everything's said with so much anger and so much thrust that, like, you're just, I think we're inventing enemies. You know, I think,
right.
You know, like, the people that we're mad at the most,
yeah,
there's very few of them. I think more people are towards the middle than those tail ends of the bell curve.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to believe that, but I do believe that.
Yeah, exactly. There's, like, fringe elements on both sides. There are fringe elements on the Republican side that are, you know, racist, homophobic, everybody's afraid of them in liberal states. I understand that, but I think they're the fringe.
Yes,
like, aren't the majority of the people, but we're acting. And then the news, like, jumps on anything.
Well, that's like the news will, the worst is, like, you'll go on Yahoo and it will be like, people are mad. And then it's like, they'll link to tweets like, where the person has two followers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, that person doesn't represent anyone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I there was like a headline. I was watching the Patriots the other night, and there was a headline. It was like coming up, protesters take over the city. It's like, no, they're not taking over. There's like 20 people who are upset, who are like walking around a mall. It's not really the same. It's taking over the city.
And I know we're minimizing, but I think there needs to be some minimizing right now. Like, I know that there's things going on. That's the other thing. Like, I wrote a column about this. I wrote last week. It was a call. And the name of it is part of the problem. It's called, you know, Trump is your fault, liberals. Like, and the idea of it was, listen, if you just call some random person stupid for a year, they're going to fucking make sure they go out and vote against you calling them stupid.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the problem I have with liberals is we're so condescending.
Oh,
we act like everything we're doing is right, which might be true, but you can't then just like speak down to everybody who isn't agreeing with you and then be surprised when the great many people don't
agree
with
you. And it's continuing now when you call someone, you know, if you say all Trump voters are racist, like, here's what makes me sound the most racist. Mm-hmm. Ready? As a white guy, saying I'm not racist.
That's why you're moving to Harlem.
That's
why
I'm moving to prove. This is how much I want to prove I'm not racist.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you start the conversation at you're a racist, but there's no conversation because now I'm defending. Okay, I'm not a racist, and then it's like at the same point I'm like, fuck it. What can I do? This person fucking hates me. They think I'm a racist.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like if you call someone an alcoholic. You know, like if you heard someone across the room be like, I'm not an alcoholic, you'd be like, well, that person has kind of a drinking problem.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
That person kind of has a problem with black people. That person kind of has a problem with, you know, so-and-so ethnicity, religion, whatever.
Right.
So I think right now it's the yelling is getting us. So, and it's for the right and left. If you're someone, listen, and I know this audience that is listening now. It's a right of center audience.
Oh, okay. I didn't
the people that listen to this podcast for a good amount, you know, or the loud people that I hear from. Take a look at yourself too. It's both sides. It's, you know, they're both acting ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean that's why I go in the current condition. I like pointing out the hypocrisy of the liberals more because I feel like it's understood that Republicans.
Yeah,
and like
that. Well, that's the hypocrisy, you know.
Yeah.
That's your, you know, I like to think I'm probably right of center as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was on this podcast being like, Trump, I get it. And, you know, for a while, Pence pushed me out a little bit just because I don't believe in God, church and state. And that guy's the biggest bring the church into the state guy that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So those are my opinions and you're free to your own. But here's what's not happening. This conversation. You're telling me you're upset someone lost. I'm generally like, let's wait and see. But we're still sitting here talking and respecting one another.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of what's not going on.
Right. The conversations are, people are just like, oh, I disagree with you. Shut up. I'm going to mourn. Or I won in your face.
And yeah, that's there's like, a lot of dancing in the end zone.
Right.
A lot of Odell Beckham, not a lot of LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, we need a little bit more Blount.
Yeah, we need a little more Blount. So let's get to the emails. Lingon, I'm happy you're here.
Yeah,
super pumped. All of you need to get on board with Lingon Mitra. He's on Twitter at Lingon, lingonmitra.com. Also, go and Google search Lingon Mitra Colbert.
Yeah.
I just did Colbert, yeah. Fucking awesome set.
Thanks. It was funny because it was like before the election and I was talking about how we keep dismissing Trump and how he might end up winning and then he ended up winning. But it was a joke back then and now it's like, ooh.
Now it's the reality.
Yeah.
it's such a great set and, you know, you guys should all go get on board and go watch it. If you have an email, the emails this week are great. I've been moving all day today, so I'm a little bit... We're going to go from ones I've read, and then we'll go to other ones that I haven't read. We'll go into the grab bag. This one's called The Regulars. You can send them in jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. The Regulars. What's up, you Yiddish motherfucker? A lot of Jewish things yelled at me from this podcast. Let me just give you a warning.
Now that I know that.
I just want to get your take on a repeating situation that I often see at our fraternity parties. Our fraternity is a large state school where our house parties have been getting better and better each week and continue to grow. Not only are we bringing around a lot of new girls, but a lot of the same ones keep coming back. As much as I love hitting on and talking to the new chicks, a lot of these other girls that have been coming around for a while are also pretty fucking hot. However, I feel it more or less a little weird to try and get with some of them when a lot of the guys, myself included, befriended them after a while and hang out with a lot of us in other situations other than parties. I wouldn't want to make anything awkward or for anything down the road in case I did make a move. So I want to see if you had any advice on the best way to handle the situation, approach these chicks and what to say, or if it's best to just leave it where it is and stay cool with them like everyone else. Let me know what you think. Any advice is appreciated. What do you think? So basically, they're having these parties, and there's these girls that are just coming around again and again. They're becoming more friends than lovers.
Okay.
And they want to know if, you know, hitting on them is okay, I guess, right?
He wants to know if he can hit on somebody who he's friends with.
Basically. You know, I think what happens is a lot, you know, were you in a fraternity at school?
No, I was not.
You went to Harvard?
I did, yeah.
Don't they have like clubs and stuff?
Yeah, they've got finals clubs, which are basically fraternities, but I wasn't in any of them.
Okay. So, I mean, a lot of times in my fraternity, you would have this like core group of girls that always came to your party because one, they felt comfortable coming to your house. They know you.
Yeah.
So they know they can come have beers and not feel like just because they're having beers, they have to, you know, talk to guys that they don't like. They know they're going to like these guys. They know they're comfortable there. They know they're safe.
Yeah.
So I think what happens is over time, you know, you could be like, well, that girl's here all the time and I kind of like her, but I don't want her to fucking scare away the rest of the friends if she's like, oh, now they're trying to get with us.
Oh.
Does that make any sense?
I mean, I understand what you said. I don't think it's a reasonable fear.
I don't think it's a reasonable fear at all. Because I think also, like, it's okay to go from friend to, I think I got a thing for this chick.
Yeah, if anything, you're more trustworthy now.
Yeah.
Because you've established yourself as somebody who's social, friendly, has friends outside of this, like, little window that normally they come and see you at. So it seems like, all right, you already have like an advantage in this situation. So what's the concern is, I guess, what are you afraid of? That unless you're like a different person and you become like creepy now that you're hitting on it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
Don't have to become a different person.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, let's remember, you know, if they're coming to your house and you want to hook up with them, they're not your friends. You know, they might, you know, like at a certain point, you're kind of lying. You know, you're saying you can't, you have to kind of switch what you're putting out there at a certain point. So what I'm saying if you're friends with these girls, be friends with these girls. But don't be afraid. If you're friends and you make a move, you can't be afraid to lose this whole group. You might. They might say, hey, this guy made a move on me. I don't really, and then you get a no. I think the one, if I can backtrack a second because what I'm saying sounds ridiculous. If I could say to you, if you make a move, just be totally cool with it not working out and it's going to be a little embarrassing and then keep inviting them.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to just be like, if you're saying like, hey.
Yeah, just be grown up.
Be grown up. I think the plan, if you want to, you have to switch up.
But I think you're right. You can't be like trying to lure people in, pretend to be friends with them, and then be like, oh, now I'm going to hit on you. What? We're already friends. How come you're upset about this? Like that.
You have to understand that they're not. They might see it as just friends.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. This goes both ways, guys or girls. If a girl keeps having a guy over to their sorority house and he's like, I'm just kind of like hanging out here. Then she could say, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, the thing is, with any time you come out to somebody that you're like attracted to them, it's like a Band-Aid rip. It's going to fucking hurt.
Yeah, you're throwing yourself out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird.
So I think the move for anyone that has like the regular girls coming over, you have to switch up the scenario. You can't just have the, you know, right now you're in, if it's a group of girls that you know and they're friends to the house, they just keep coming to the same Thursday night party, no matter what. So that's just part of their routine. You have to switch up the routine. You have to say to these girls, hey, if they're comfortable at your house during a party, then they're going to be comfortable coming over maybe late nights and a different time of night. And you have to also go to one of them and be like, and make one of them feel a little bit more special than the rest.
Yeah, I think you should also be smart about, like, you have a sense if this girl, like, if you've been hanging out with them for so long, you should be able to figure out, all right, maybe there's something here. Or you can, like, ask around. Like, there are ways to figure it out so that you aren't just, like, out of nowhere, girl's mind, out of nowhere, being like, hey, let's do this, right?
That is a good point. Because that's the advice, is really you have to make it apparent that you're, like, looking to hang out as more than just the normal come over to our party that happens on this day a week. Because what happens is every fraternity, what they do is they'll be like, okay, they'll fashion out a night. So they'll be like, Wednesday night, like we used to have Beta Wednesdays. So Beta Wednesday, every girl knew you go to Beta and there'll be beer and fun. So if you're having these friends, girl, you know, and we had the regulars just like this guy. Yeah. We had the regular girls that would show up and they would feel very, which they should because we liked them and they were our friends. But at a certain point, you have to go to one of those girls that you're thinking you have a thing for and say what's up and talk to her and kind of, you know, pull her aside a little bit at the party and make her feel special, make her feel that you're interested in her. And then maybe you get the number and now you're just asking for her to come out on different nights and make it, doesn't say the monotony. You don't want to get caught up in the, we just show up there on Wednesdays. Oh, and I just saw him on a Wednesday. You have to break her off, the girl that you're trying to get with, where it's like, hey, we're doing a Friday thing. You should come.
Yeah. And I think it's important. Like if she says no, the way you react to that, it kind of defines what happens next. Because if you're afraid that girls are going to, like, all that group is going to turn around on you and not want to be comfortable with you, if she says no and you blow up, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Then they're going to say, we want to get away from these fucking dudes.
Yeah. If she says totally. No and you're a mature about it and be like, oh, no, I see. That's fine. You know, or not, whatever. You got to deal with it. You know,
you have to invite the girl to the night that she's not used to coming to the house. And then that's a buying. If she says yes, okay, that's one good thing. And then you say, okay, we're also going to be doing this late night thing. You guys should come too. Oh, yeah, we'd like to do that too. Get her out of the routine of we come there because we're friends and make it about her specifically, where you're like, okay, I'm making it about you. You're someone that I feel is special to me, and I want you to know that. And the more you make it apparent, the more it's easy to be like, okay, well, she's in for this. I think there's something there more.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Alingon Mitra at Alingon on Twitter. Go follow him, support him. Harry's. Listen, I love Harry's. I love it because it comes right to your door. The shaving, you ever use them?
No.
Never?
No, I do just like this double edge.
Okay, you got to get these. You got to get involved. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because they come right to your door and it's a great shave. And you're not like, you know, there's never a point where it's like, oh, fuck, I don't have the shaving shit. Always there. And it's really, it's also cheaper, which is. What are we even talking about at this point? Big razor companies have always made small changes, come out with the newest version, raising their already high prices. Unlike those guys, Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging, which is why they made their razors even better. They're keeping prices exactly the same. Harry's 5-blade razors now. See, that's 3 more blades. You're missing out.
You're missing out. Missing out on those blades.
Softer flex hinge for more comfortable glide. Trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places. Lubricating strip. Textured handle for more control when it's wet. Still just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more you'll pay with the drugstore. By owning the factory in Germany where they make the blades, Harry can produce high-quality razors themselves and sell them online for half the price. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, 5-blade cartridges, and shaving gel. Get your free trial set when you subscribe. Just pay $3 for shipping. Plus, I got a special offer for my listeners. Enter code JTRAIN. That's code JTRAIN. That's code JTRAIN at checkout to get a post-shave bomb for free with your order. Go to harrys.com right now. Enter code JTRAIN at checkout to claim your free trial set. Post-shave bomb. That's harrys.com. Code JTRAIN. Listen, that bomb, I mentioned it before. I didn't think I'd be into it. I use it all the time now. It's like, you know how cologne is too much? Like you smell someone with a lot of cologne, you're like, get this fucking loser out of my face. This is the cologne. You put it on after a shave and it's just enough of a smell where it's like, is this his natural thing? You know what I mean?
Does he naturally smell like lavender?
Yeah, is he naturally delicious? Naturally delicious is also my stage name. Yeah. And coming up next, naturally delicious. I think I'm a female fuckboy. As a lady listener, I got out of a chick email. I got out of a 2.5 year relationship in December, graduated college in May, a year early, and turned 21 in July. I'm working in my new career and applying to graduate school. I love being single, hanging out with girlfriends. I really have no desire for a relationship, but I do like dating around and meeting new people. Usually I go on a couple dates, hook up, and the guy finds out I might be leaving town to graduate school, and things fall apart with no hard feelings. Perfect, right?
Sounds fair, yeah.
That sounds like what I'm looking for. Recently, I realized that I am a 2 a.m. texter. I don't really respond to any suitors during the day and don't care to, leaving guys on read receipt or just never opening the text / Snapchats. But when 2 a.m. rolls around after a night out with the girls, I have no shame in hitting a past fling up. Last week, I went out with a guy I've known for a while who I thought was on the same page as me with wanting to keep it, as you say, late night. But now he texts me all the time and he told me he has had feelings for me for 5 years. Yikes, no thanks. And always wants to hang out and cuddle. He also mentioned that he's intimidated by me and my success so far, whereas he's older and only has 30 credits in school. I think we're realizing why she doesn't like him. The worst part is there's another guy in the picture who also wants more, but I'm not about him either. Obviously, I haven't dated around as much as I am now, but because I was in a long relationship. And my question is, one, how do I let these guys down easy? Honesty is the best policy, but doesn't always sit well. Should I feel guilty for thinking guys at this age are pretty replaceable, or should I enjoy being young, single, and post-grad? How do you feel about this?
What isn't clear to me is up front, how does she handle these people? Like, if she's saying up front, look, this is the situation I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm 21. I'm just not into anything long term. Just trying to keep it casual. Yeah. And these people fall for her even after that, then she shouldn't feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
If she up front doesn't tell people directly what she's going for and leads people on, and then this happens, that's on her.
Yeah.
And then I feel like there's some blame.
I feel bad for any girl that, like, she starts it off by saying, I think I'm a female fuckboy.
I don't even, what is that? I don't know.
I guess like a, just like a girl who wants to get around and doesn't want a relationship.
Okay.
Which is like, I think that's like I feel bad for girls that want to just hook up because guys' egos are so huge that in general, where we'll find, like, if a girl's like hooking up with us, we're like, oh, she's going to want more no matter what. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
That's our status quo. We always think that's like the next, like, oh,
yeah.
Make out with us. Oh, she can't find anything better than this.
Yeah.
When you're just a five, you know? Like, so, like, I feel bad for her because if a guy does, these guys obviously feel lucky to have achieved her in a sexual pursuit to be like, okay, lock it down.
Well, that guy that has loved her for 5 years,
yes.
I feel like there's more backstory there.
Well, there's
like,
more backstory because at the same time, he's like, listen, and a lot of girls think this way too. She's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we just add some fucking
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to the, you know, listen, it's like friends, when you're friends with someone and you're attracted to them, it's like putting cheese on a sandwich. Like, you can't understand why someone wouldn't put cheese on the sandwich. you know, like, if you're looking at a girl and you're like, she's hot, mm-hmm. we get along great, why wouldn't she just want to put some provolone on this fucking shit and
right.
suck my dick? Do you know what I mean? So, like, I understand where the friend of 5 years is like, how could you not?
He says this dude loves her, right? That's what he said.
He claims he does, but I think love is I think that's like where that friend that comes out to you after that long a time.
Uh huh.
I think they're confused.
Okay.
I think what they've done is lied to themselves by saying that because if you're friends, then uh-huh. you're friends, in my opinion. Like I just don't. I do see how someone like one day could be like, wait a minute, this could work. And I think that point, it's both people on the same page. But when one person comes out to the other person as I'm in love with you, and the other person is totally blindsided,
mm-hmm.
that person's been lying to that person anyways because they've made decisions based on keeping this person as a friend.
I don't follow.
So I'm saying if I'm friends with this chick for 5 years,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden 5 years later I'm like, I've been in love with you this whole time.
Yeah.
Wasn't I just trying to keep her as a friend to get her attracted to me?
Okay.
Like my actions as a friend aren't how I treat my real friends.
Okay.
If my real friend was like, hey, I'm going to get burgers tonight, and I was like, nah, fuck you, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But if it's a girl I like that I'm saying I'm friends with, hey, I want to go out and get something to eat. Oh, yeah, I'll be over in a second. I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
That's not a friend. You're just in disguise.
A friend in disguise.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's artificial.
So he's artificial. So he's not even acting like himself. He might not even know who he is. He's been in service of this friend.
But then she hooked up with him.
And then she hooked up with him.
Like, that's the dilemma. Yeah. Like, it's...
At that point, you have to break this off and stop being such friends. Yeah. I mean, that comes down to her question where it's like, am I being a dick?
Yeah.
You're being a dick if you keep hooking up knowing that he's released his feelings to you.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's got to be over. And basically, and with guys, you just have to say it's over. You can't be iffy with a dude. You can't, like, if a guy's into you and you're like, not today, 6 months from now, we'll be like, yeah, but it's me. So we'll be like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the ego thing coming back around. So if you're a girl out there that's like, listen, I'm just looking to fuck, just like you said, be honest up front.
Right.
But then wait a little bit. Like, you know, if the person keeps coming back to you, you have to come back with hard reality.
Yeah.
I like you as a friend. I don't see us going anywhere. Maybe we should take some time to not talk so we can keep being friends way down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds solid to me.
And you have to be so, and girls, you know, get caught up with this thing. They don't want to be bitches. You know, I don't want to be a bitch. Mm-hmm. Well, it's time to be a bitch.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's almost selfish if you aren't.
Yes.
Because this guy is infatuated with you, and he's going to continue to behave in this way.
Yeah.
And if you are doing it just to make yourself feel good, like, I don't want to feel bad after hurting this person, then it's selfish because really long term you're hurting this person and you're just trying to protect your own feelings.
Yes. It's like not dumping somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like ghosting.
Right.
You're being selfish. And you know what, to her, like, I like what she's saying. She's like, I'm looking to be single, I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
I'm keeping, and so her actions have been honest.
Yeah.
2 a.m. hookup. But if you're friends with someone for 5 years and then you make them a 2 a.m. hookup, I can understand why he's like, listen, let's put some fucking provolone on this shit. We can melt it, toast it up.
What's the 30 credits, dude? Is this the same guy?
The 30 credits, dude. Yeah, I think he's the...
He needs to work on his credits.
I think he's another guy in the picture, actually. I think
another guy in the picture?
Separate guy?
Yeah, text me all the time, late night, but... No, this is the 5 years guy. He only has 30 credits. And I would say to him, like, listen.
Go to school.
Maybe she's been the one distracting him from getting those credits.
Get those credits.
You know? Get a fucking...
Get a degree. You get some more girls.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We got one more sponsor, guys. Oh, maybe this guy could use it. The guy with 30 credits. Mm-hmm. He should go to AdamandEve.com. Help out his masturbation.
Sure.
He's probably chafing from looking at this girl's Instagram for 5 years. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you also receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. And to top it all off, they will even throw in a free shipping on your entire order. Go to AdamandEve.com. Use code JTRAIN at checkout. That's JTRAIN, JTRAIN. At AdamandEve.com. Use code JTRAIN at AdamandEve.com. Listen, I've mentioned this before. Go on with your girlfriend at AdamandEve.com and pick out things together. Get the conversation going. Now you're getting weird without making it weird. Promo code JTRAIN. Let's keep going. Add Alingon on Twitter. Alingon Mitra, AlingonMitra.com. JTRAINPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do Rebound Doesn't Want to Be Rebound.
All right, let's see where this is going.
What's up, long-time listener, first-time working my feather magic. I'm a fifth-year senior who just ended a three-year relationship, doesn't go to the same school. So after about 4 weeks of new single life, I'm about to get a 787 to come back to my place. FYI, dogs are great wingmen. That's right, when we go to bed, she says she's not the one-night stand type. Respecting her not wanting to seal the deal, we fall asleep. It was daylight breaking time. I think he means daylight savings time.
Unless he was going to sleep just when daylight was breaking through the window.
The next night she hits me
up with...
It's called
dawn.
Yeah,
there are other words.
Yeah, the next time she hits me up with a you up text. She comes over, we make out, and end up falling asleep. I know the closing game was weak on my part, long night, morning prior, and we were both pretty fucked up. The next morning we start making out, and I start making moves, and she stops. She stalked me on Facebook and found out I'm fresh meat to the lady tigers. She then proceeded to tell me that she's sick of being a rebound girl, which ended the morning attempt of getting laid. My question is, being the rebound a bad thing? I personally think it leads to great sex, but it's weird. I got hit with that. Any insight would be great. Very respectfully. P.S. Keep the good work. Love the podcast. Makes my drives home way better. So what do you think? He was trying to get with this girl, and then she stalked him, found out he was just in a relationship, and she's upset about that.
It goes back to, well, I don't know what the situation was up front. So what was he act like? She didn't
met
what
a chick,
did she want up what did she
chick,
want up front?
She says, I don't want to be a one night stand.
I then don't want to be a one night stand.
Then comes back over, they make out. She claims that she stalked him, saw that he was just recently out of a relationship.
Okay.
She doesn't want to be the rebound. He wants to know, what's the problem with being the rebound?
Okay.
The same problem as being the one night stand.
Yeah, she doesn't want that.
Girls are good at doing that math.
Yeah.
Like, let's give them credit. Every girl knows that if a guy ends a relationship, there's a piece of him that's like, I am ready to be out there.
Uncaged. Yeah.
The cat is out of the box. Right? Wild cat's got to eat. And the milk ain't at home anymore. So he's out on the prowl. I'm telling you. So girls know that, like let's do the statistics on this, is what they're doing. It's kind of like when you're playing blackjack.
Yeah.
You know,
She
knows the odds.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck this dude. I know you just want to fuck. That's the thing with getting out of a relationship recently. Like, every girl girls know guys are just after sex first, and then they're going to see about the relationship later.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're recently out of a relationship, they know the chances of this being more than just sex have gone down drastically.
Right.
And she's just playing that math, which I totally get.
Yeah, she's right.
She's right. She's absolutely right.
She's 100% right.
She's absolutely right. I get out of a relationship, and I am like, my thumb hurts from the texting. I'm playing. And there's a point, like a month after you're out of a relationship, you're like, I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything else but look for new chicks. Just because you spend so much time doing, like, it's two lives. And you're just experiencing this new life. And she knows that, and you have a right to do it. But she also has a right to be like, yeah, I'm looking to actually talk to someone.
Yeah. Yeah. She knew what she was. She figured it out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the thing. She got the code.
Yeah. To his question, there's nothing wrong if he's like, what's wrong with being a rebound? There's nothing wrong with it if that's what the girl is wanting, but she wants something else.
But don't be surprised.
Yeah, you can't be like
when the girl's like
outraged.
And that's the thing. When a girl finds out that there's a recent ex-girlfriend, they automatically assume, and they're right to assume, you're not even listening to a word they're saying. You're just yesing the fuck out of them to get to your penis.
Yeah. And how many weeks has he been?
He's single? 4 weeks out of new single life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that point, I mean, he could even get back with that girl. Like, it's not even enough time, I feel like.
No. Yeah. And not enough time. That's the other thing.
The girl to her.
The thing is, when your relationship ends, the easiest person to go back to is the one you just came from.
Right.
And what this girl's doing is protecting herself, which she should. Here's what you do. You stay on Tinder, Bumble, whatever it is. You keep swipe. You keep having fun. And then if you really, masturbate a couple times, climax into a sock, mm-hmm. and then be like, oh, if you're still thinking of that girl, then, maybe you should give her a call back.
Yeah.
And actually date her. That's the thing. Like, the rebound girl doesn't get the luxury of, like, dinner, drinks, the moves.
Yeah, because your mentality is this is rebound. Yeah.
And girls want more than that. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast at gmail.com. Here with Lingon Mitra at Lingon. This is great, man. What about slaying the X's? We're talking a lot about X's. I feel like we should get into that.
Slaying the X's.
Why don't we do this? Hey, Juby. I'm here coming live from a relatively poorly funded high school that thrives off of giving kids Chromebooks in order to...
High school email.
It's a high school. We haven't done one of these in a while.
That's cute.
I've got a situation that needs a little fixing, like mashed potatoes in time for Thanksgiving. I've got an ex that I haven't had any contact with until the past week when she started talking to me after we saw each other at a camp. At a camp? What was a camp?
High school camp.
I love these high school emails.
They're ridiculous. Really at a camp. Maybe he was when, at a camp. Maybe he was at one of Pence's
conversion
camps. Try to talk the gay out of you. And now I've been tapping a little over the time we weren't talking, and she and her friends have been absolutely banging the windows. If you're catching the breeze, I'm rustling up. I know you do. You like your nuts feathered with a giant-ass feather. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, at this point, it's not even English.
I think he's talking about tapping on the window glass because he's liking. This is. I know we're referencing past language on the podcast, but I've said that when you like someone's Instagram pictures, it's like tapping on the window.
Okay.
You know, letting them know that you're still here and hard. The question being, how's the best way to get the ball back in her court for us to hang and fog up some car windows? I've tried the friends method, but it hasn't caught since it was kind of last minute. But what you got for a Southern prep looking to dive into some prime substitute bid material before college starts? This is a ridiculous email. Go with the X or branch out a little to rustle the gimlets of some other tang. Tan, blue-eyed, I thought he was writing Tang. Tan, blue-eyed blondies. And if branching out, how'd you go about slaying below the Mason-Dixon line? Keep doing you, Jew. Oh, my God. That was a ride.
It's a lot to unpack.
It's too much. I know what he tried to do, but that's way too much slang.
There was so much slang. I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah.
If you want to get back with your ex, you have to, I mean, the fact is that they're still talking is a good sign. But,
well, he's got to stop using code.
Yeah, he's got to actually speak to her.
Yeah, he's got to learn English first, and then.
Yeah, that isn't our last email. But I'll say to that, dude, listen, if you're going to go back to your ex, fucking all you got to do, send a text, hey, I'm with some friends, you and your friends should come, and make, the whole thing is the reach out. You know, with an ex, they think, okay, I live in Xville. When you send them a letter being like, I cordially invite you to Friendville, to Hangoutville. Now you're getting them out of that, like, yeah, he probably, because what we do is we assume the worst. Oh, that guy probably doesn't like me anymore. We ended on bad terms. We ended in this way or that way. Just change the tune and be upfront. Hey, it'd be cool to see you again. Just that language puts you back on board with like, oh, I guess he does kind of still think of me.
Yeah, I don't know what he said in his email. So did he break up with her? I think they just broke up,
and now she's back in the picture.
Okay.
So now she's like, you know, they're talking a little bit. How do I make it so the ball's in her court? The ball's in her court when you start coming with language that's direct and honest and lets her know how you're feeling. Hey, I've been thinking about you a lot lately. Would love to hang out.
Yeah.
And then she'll say yes, no, maybe so. She says maybe. Sounds good. Hope everything's well. And let it go. That's okay. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Lingon Mitra at Alingon on Twitter. We can do one more. What do you think? We're going right into the mailbag. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sneaky drinking girlfriend semi-formal. Pussy in every direction. Chewbacca, please respond. Condition to fuck boys. Postgrad overthinking.
This is my choice?
Yeah.
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, please respond.
This guy seems desperate.
Love the show. Keep up the great work. Oh, another high. Oh, I'm 17 from Honduras.
Oh, my gosh.
And just graduated high school.
school. This should be in Spanish. Email.
I know. Well, hold on. I just moved to Spain, waiting to start university in about a year because I have to take the equivalent of the SAT here. Having a bit of a dilemma since I moved to Spain. All my friends have entered the university back home. Most of my friends from high school are going to the same university that I would have chosen if I had decided to stay. Problem is, I've just started a course here to prepare for the test, and as of now, I don't really know too many people. So I'm basically confined to the school, gym, and not partying. I get along with most of the people at school, but it's not like we hang out after class. I feel like I'm missing out on the college life back home with my friends. Should I go back home and miss the opportunity to study in Europe and enroll in the university where my friends are, or should I stay in Spain and wait to start the university next year? And I'd greatly appreciate if you put this on the podcast.
Hmm.
That's actually a well thought out question.
Yeah, this was not a high school.
No, this was a more adult,
career oriented student.
You ever move? You're from
Worcester.
Worcester, and you moved to New York.
Moved to New York. Yeah, that was for stand up.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, initially when you move, it. How long has this guy been there? Does it say?
He's got to be there a year.
But how long has he been there so far?
I just moved to Spain, is what he said, and he's waiting to start university in about a year.
Okay. It takes time.
Yeah.
When you move somewhere, you're just out in the wind again. You don't know.
Moving sucks.
Yeah, you don't know people.
Look at me, I'm in Harlem all alone.
People don't want you to be there.
Yeah.
The other colors are like, this is not right.
Yeah.
It's tough because you don't know anybody, but... you got to give it time.
Yes.
And I'm assuming this guy moved to Spain because that program that he wants to go to is better than the program that he's been in.
You have to trust your initial instinct. You ever go, like, I went, did you go abroad in college?
I did, yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to Spain.
So you went to Spain. Where in Spain?
León. Yeah.
That is not a big program, is it?
No, it's not. That's what makes it good. Because I feel like if you go study abroad when you're in Madrid or someplace, you're with so many study abroad people, you just speak English.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah, exactly. I went to León. I had to speak Spanish.
You had to speak Spanish. Are you fluent?
When I got out of there, yeah, now it's terrible.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like,
terrible.
Terrible. Yeah, there we go. So you sound pretty good to me. Yeah, I think, you know, whenever you go abroad, and especially for me, because I was in one of those cities where a lot of Americans went, mm-hmm. there's a few people that just drop out right away. Mm-hmm. They experience a little bit of discomfort, and they're like, fuck it, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like working out. Like, that first week fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And then you get a little bit more in shape, and then you get a little more in shape, and then it becomes fun because you see results.
Yeah.
But that first week or two that you're seeing no results— those are the hardest ones to get by.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the same goes for this guy in this situation. You know, I like this email because it translates to any age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you move out of college, the first fucking 2 months are going to suck.
Yeah.
And then the next 2 months out of that, they're going to suck too, but they're going to suck less.
Yeah. It's especially hard for this guy because he's comparing it to, like, what if I had stayed? And that happens too. When you move, you know, you look at Facebook, you got your friends back home who are having fun the way that you used to.
I mean, FOMO exists now because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think I'm jealous of, like, can you imagine going abroad in, like, the 90s?
Oh, what a life.
Right?
Yeah.
You're literally like, you know.
It's a new person.
A new person.
You can pretend to be French.
Yeah.
Want. It's great.
You just pretend you don't even know the language. You just go boop, 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 boop. You know, I just think.
Nobody could fact check you.
Nobody.
Who's got Google?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No one got Google. That, I mean, like, that's the thing you do. But this guy does have an opportunity that, listen, everything that I've liked about my life has always sucked at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's been scary. It's been uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with that has made me a better person.
Yeah.
So if you give up on it in the first 2 weeks, think back. You're going to be upset.
Yeah.
Think back to the reasons you initially went. And those reasons were right because you wanted to do them.
Yeah. And you can take steps to try to become more included in the social circles there. Like whatever this guy's been doing.
There's get a job, one.
Yeah.
Get a waitressing or waitering or a bartending job. That's actually social.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least you're at bars, you're out at night. Get a, go join a club.
Clubs, activities.
Soccer, something like that. They play that there, I think.
Yeah. And I'm guessing even this class that this guy's taking, there are other students there.
Totally. And they're getting the SAT equivalent
too. Same thing. Those people are probably in the same situation where they're like, oh man, I'm new in this place. I don't know it.
Jump into the awkward.
Yeah.
That's really the thing. You got to jump into awkward. You got to say, fuck it, talking to this guy in the SAT class is going to be fucking awkward because I have no friends, but you're going to be better off. Maybe he's a good dude.
Yeah.
And if he's not, move on to the next awkward dude mm-hmm. or chick and just put it out there. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Alinga, thank you for coming on.
Oh, fantastic. What a fun show.
Right?
Yeah.
Good to have you. We'll have you back again. That was great. Go follow Alingon at Alingon on Twitter, alingonmitra.com. He's going to be at Mohegan Sun coming up over Thanksgiving weekend. Go check him out. We'll be right back with Hypotheticals in the News. Hey guys, welcome back. Alingon, thank you for doing the emails.
For sure.
Fantastic. Go follow Alingon at Alingon on Twitter, alingonmitra.com. Go see all his dates. Fantastic comic. Man, Sam, thank you for coming on.
Happy to be here, man.
It's going
to
be an exhausting week for you.
I'm very tired, yeah.
At Man Sam on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast every Friday. This is one you got to check out.
Yeah, we could talk. We'll do some hypotheticals and stuff, but yeah, we could talk about it a little bit. My the last episode, it's episode 104, MSP 104, Good Morning America, and it's a play on words. Yeah, we talked about the election for like 2 hours. I got so many snaps and tweets and everything from people, so you know, we really talked it out for a while.
That's great. Episode, so go check that out if you haven't already. It kind of gives you some perspective for people who actually. That's the thing, like. You're someone who's into this.
Yeah, I enjoy it, and I think it's important to pay attention to. So yeah, it's something I think about a lot.
Most of the chatter we talked about on Facebook, mm-hmm. this is the first time they even thought of an election.
Yeah,
you know, like you, and so many of the things they're screaming about, they're half truths, and you don't know what the truth is. So this is an informed discussion.
Yeah, I do my best to try to be, objective and check my facts and do all that stuff.
So we'll do a hypothetical, then we'll head out to some news. Sup, Jew? First off, love the show, all the wisdom that comes with it. I'm in the Air Force, and you should know that the military here in Kansas loves the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate your work and what you guys are doing for us. Enough of the fondling of your Jupiter-sized nuts. Now let's get down to business. My question is, if you can only pick one sport for your child to play at all levels, youth, middle school through college, and professional, what sport do you pick? Pick one for your son and one for your daughter. The deets, given your inferior genetics.
It's a lot of juice.
Okay. Inferior.
Start out friendly, not a little aggressive.
Your child won't be a superstar, but they're guaranteed to get to the professional level, can make a career out of it at a median pay. They can also play other sports with their friends, but only recreationally. So what sport do you choose for your son and daughter? You have a thought?
Because he's doing this for as long as he can do it, basically.
Yeah, let's say you're like a middle-of-the-road athlete for, the sport. Like let's say you're just middle-of-the-road. You're a professional, so you're one of the best in the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but you're not like... You're not LeBron James, but you're not a bust.
Mm-hmm. I'd say soccer.
Soccer.
Yeah. Just because I feel like those guys can continue to play even after like soccer is over.
Mm-hmm.
There's still like things that you can do in the soccer world.
They're humans.
They've got like lives.
Yeah.
They're not like concussed, so they can still.
Well, they say that those guys do get from heading the ball.
Oh, really?
They say it's like an actual issue. I didn't even, that's like the new thing to come out.
Yeah, it's not necessarily getting knocked out or something like that. It's the repeated concussive blows. So, like every time they're dribbling the ball off their head or whatever, that's bad for you. Yeah.
Vance, have you got a thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like them both to just be, middle relievers in Major League Baseball.
Baseball, as far as a money play, guaranteed contract, those guys get paid ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Female side, I go soccer, because at least female soccer players can play professionally abroad, so at least my daughter's getting an experience.
What about tennis?
Oh, tennis is a good one, actually. Or tennis golf. Golf's even really good, too.
I'm going tennis for my daughter just because, tennis is like, that's a fun thing to be a parent in the crowd.
Yeah,
you ever see those crazy? Yeah, golf.
I've never seen a golf parent.
Yeah. Those parents, I could be like, like the Williams sisters' dad.
Right.
Where I'm just like sitting there glaring.
But you are dressed like a golf dad.
I could be a golf dad. Yeah. I want to be the tennis dad. I want to be tennis, yes. Female tennis. But this also makes me, and I'm going to go male, I would go baseball, but I just, you know, for this question, it brings me up, like, we can't lose youth football. We can't, like, I don't understand the question of, like, would you let your kids play football? I get, like, I played Pop Warner my whole life, and there's so many...
That explains a lot.
It explains a lot. It explains everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think, like, you learn more from the game of football than you do.
But you don't have
sports.
The brain capacity to retain it anymore.
Never.
Yeah.
No. No brain capacity. I can't remember a thing.
No. But I. So you think football in its current state is better to have?
Yes.
Because the kids learn things.
Because
even if it comes at the cost of potentially brain damage long term.
Yes. Mm. I think the amount of brain damage, like I'm sitting here with the brain damage that comes from a lifetime of Pop Warner football and high school football. So, you know, whether I played, you know, I'm sure in Texas and Pennsylvania, the level of play was better than what I dealt with. But I'm saying
what position did you play?
I played defensive line and offensive line.
Okay.
So all those years, and I may have scored one touchdown and had the nickname TD Freed in high school that I gave myself.
That's a running theme.
So, but I don't want to lose linemen. Think about how good of a guy being a lineman makes you. In high school, you're blocking for someone else to score. When do you act that selflessly in high school?
You'll play basketball. Take a pick.
You still score in basketball. There's still a chance for you to score a basket. These guys that are linemen, their job is to get another dude laid. Like I think that's like...
It's a selfless position, yeah.
It's a selfless... So you basically, if we get rid of football, we get rid of that teaching moment. I know we don't completely, but I'm just saying like...
You could be like there are people who do tech in theater, just like who do like lighting. They get no recognition in high school.
Yeah, that's
it's the
true.
Same thing. There's like actors who go up and get all the credit.
Yeah, but they don't get Letterman jackets.
So it's even better. Like they're complete losers.
People care even less about
that.
Yeah,
they care even less about that. I guess you're right. I don't know. Plus, I just always think of football like the lessons from football. Like I think they're ones that you don't want to lose that you don't necessarily get in another sport. Like the idea of like 11 people moving together at the same time isn't really something like, you know, soccer, the forwards are handling the ball. We're just going to wait back here while, you know, and play defense. You know, like lacrosse is kind of split that way too, where like the attackmen play, you know, do offense, the defense do defense. And but I just like individual sports, you're an individual. You all the acclaim, all the loss, you know? So I don't know. I think basketball, yeah, there's role
basketball,
players.
Hockey.
Yeah, hockey's a really good team sport. I mean, it's not the same exact as what you're talking about with football, but hockey's a full team sport. You know, everybody has to participate together.
I don't know. Something to think about. Let's do some news.
So this does, kind of piggybacks on the Donald Trump becoming president-elect thing. El Chapo, remember El Chapo, the Mexican drug lord?
Yeah, the guy that got sprung out of jail by digging out, right?
Yes. Not only digging out, I mean, he had like a nice hallway built for him to get out of jail. But yeah, he's on Twitter, and he's taunting Trump. Because Trump, I guess, said that he was going to put him away or whatever. You know, Trump said some shit about him. So El Chapo tweeted, "The candidate of the most palpable hate, confrontation, racism, persecution, and misogyny has won. How sad for us all. This wall is not a problem. I'll knock it down or jump it or go underneath it. But how many of those deported won't be seen? How many families will be separated? Do not lower our guard here. Wherever you are, if Donald Trump messes with Mexicans, have more than a wall to encounter, you know, let him encounter more than a wall."
You know, the thing is, the problem with Trump, one of the many issues that people have, the one issue is he's easily goaded.
Yeah.
That's a huge issue. Yeah.
That's a huge issue. Like the fact that he couldn't just be like, couldn't ignore the Rosie O'Donnell thing during a debate. Like,
he's a petty man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fact.
Yeah. So, like, this whole El Chapo thing, like, he's just doing it. He's trolling someone you know that can be trolled. It's the reason trolls exist. They know that all they want is a response. It validates them 100%.
Right. What I want to believe is that the job of the president requires you to be so busy all the time that he won't have as much time to focus on people who are like tweeting at him. But I mean, you'd argue that you were running for president, you'd be that busy too. But he still found a way to go after people then too.
You would think, but I, it's just the whole Chapo thing. Like, I mean, this doesn't surprise me that someone would come out of the woodwork and just be like, "Hey, like, not gonna get me, not gonna get me." And it's like, okay, fuck.
Well, Chapo's kind of in the same position that Trump was before he became president. You know what I mean? It's like he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of yes men around him, and he's got time to tweet, apparently.
I don't know. Stuff like this where it's like, you know, like we're heading to uncharted territory, to say the least. I don't know. You know, listen, I'm here to give him a chance. Let's see how it goes. But we're heading somewhere different. Can't disagree on that.
This is different. That is the thing, and that's, you know, obviously, like I said, we talked for probably 2 hours on the last episode, but you know, that is the thing that is different. I understand that, you know, not everybody that voted for him is a racist or whatever, you know, misogynistic. There's an element of that, but it's a, you know, people wanted somebody quote different in there. Trump doesn't know what he doesn't know about that position though. And that's the thing that really worries me above all else. He had the meeting recently with Obama, and you know, there's a lot of accounts that came out where Trump and his staff were surprised by the responsibilities that they would have coming into office. They didn't know that they had to replace the entirety of the White House staff. That took them off guard. They didn't know that that was something they had to do. So that's really what worries me. Forget the stuff that he stated that he's going to do. It's the things that he doesn't know yet what he's going to do, that he has to do. You know?
Part of that is kind of what people wanted, that they were like, let's have somebody that like has fresh eyes on this and has nothing to, you know, no preconceived notions, which, you know, there's good and there's some good to that. I hear the anxiety, but
yeah,
it's a wait and see, man. And it's all people can talk about. Like, there is nothing. It's weird to do comedy right now. Because sometimes if you mention, what happens is like.
Especially in New York City.
New York City
is like a sad place.
Yeah. I was overreacting. In Virginia. I flew from North Carolina to here. It was like I landed inside a cloud. And the thing is, people, it's the thing everyone's thinking about. And it's also the thing nobody wants to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a weird time to just be up there and be like, okay, let's talk about dating. if that's not what you want to talk about, let's try and talk about the other shit. But here we go, you know. So, but I would encourage everyone to realize that everything online is just shouting, and take a minute and listen to some people around you, and you know, the racist shit, just fucking stop it if you even know. You know, it's horrible.
Yeah. Well, and that's the, you know, that was the other, like, I guess I had to, you know, summarize what my advice was on the show, because people were really texting me, you know, tweeting me and snapping me and being like, what, you know, I'm panicking, what is going on? Don't be hyperbolic about it, especially if you're liberal or you're against it, you didn't support the guy. Don't be hyperbolic about what he's going to do. He said specifically certain things, focus on that, and really be a critical thinker about the things that he actually does do, because you're doing yourself no good by just saying, oh, Trump's Hitler and this and that. People are out there protesting.
Nobody wants to listen.
Yeah, which is your right to go out and protest. That's fine. If you want to go out and protest, that's fine. But he is the president-elect, and that's what you were worried that his supporters were going to do. So don't be overblown with your reaction. There's going to be plenty of stuff that you can be critical about in real terms, you know what I mean?
Go ahead.
Yeah, with the protesters, I'm fine if you want to go out and protest, but I think rather than saying, like, not my president, like, attack specific policies that said he's going to implement, so that you have, like, the advantage being, like, from the get-go, we said we don't like this ban on Muslims, or whatever it is that he was saying that he's going to do, so that you can, you know, have that. But, like, just to go out there and say, like, not my president, like, that's not going to accomplish anything.
No, yeah, of course
not. It's wild. Yeah. Everything is and then, like, you know, it just, here's the idea of someone cheering for any president to become president is wild to me too. Like, you're cheering, like, this person's gonna help you, like, your team won. You gotta, I think of anything, you know, any voted thing, you know, like, all right, let's see. Hopefully it works out. You know, that person won. And you know, I'm kind of speechless about it, like, because it's been spoken about so much. I feel like I'm not in a position to even have a coherent opinion about it. But I think more people should maybe be a little bit more steady and apprehensive about having opinions yet.
Because
let's wait and see. And obviously, you know, there's things out there with racism and, you know, people are like, people are worried about that guy Bannon.
Yeah.
And I guess he's an anti-Semite is what everyone's saying.
There's some, you know, I mean, he ran Breitbart News for a long time, which is obviously a very, you know, right-wing kind of website. So you can imagine some of the headlines, like you were saying, are more inflammatory probably. Yeah. Like, you know, I'll go to the site and check stuff out. The articles don't necessarily match the headline, like you're saying. But yes, you can make a case that Steve Bannon has some, you know, negative opinions about Jews and different groups. And, you know... Yeah, it's probably not great that he's going to be there.
Listen,
but
I've met some bad Jews in my day. We're not all great.
Yeah.
I would love if someone just took that one audio clip and was like, Jared Freed. You know, like, it becomes, you know, like the whole thing. Listen, we'll get through it. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be the best.
The best. That's what he said.
Real terrific.
Mansamp, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks, man.
At Mansamp. Go check out his last podcast, Mandatory Samson Podcast, here on the State of New York Labs Network. Lingon, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. At Lingon on Twitter, lingonmitra.com. Go check him out. Fantastic comic. I'm Jared Freed. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boom!